Good afternoon. This is Judy Pasternak with an afternoon of live women's radio, part of the new work of the women's department here. Radio by, for, and about women. I was going to do a program today. I wanted to do one about older women, and because of the ageism in the society we live in, among other things, I don't have any friends in their 60s, so I don't know very many women in their 60s, and I asked the one I know best, my mother, who is here. Okay, I'm getting... This is B, her name is, and she's here. You can say hi.
Hi.
You're retired.
Yep.
Now, you want to...
Well...
When did you retire?
About a year and a half ago. I was an educational consultant in the field of early childhood. That was my last specialty. I've had lots in my life. And I have been working since I was 18. Working paid, that is. Women always work. So I decided that that was enough of that and that I wanted to have some time to do things while I was still able to do them and not... sickly enough to sit in a chair and look out the window. And so here I am.
How long had you been in early childhood?
About 20 years. Actually longer, because ever since you were born, or ever since you started nursery school, which was, shall I say, a long time ago, 34 years ago.
That's when I started nursery school. That's not how old I am.
No, she was 2 and a half, and I got involved with the nursery school then as a parent. And I got more and more involved. And when I decided to go back to work after my 4th child was 5, I found myself in that field, and I've loved it ever since. It was great. Little kids are marvelous.
What had you done for a living before those little kids?
Oh, I did lots of things. I worked in Cresses for 44 cents an hour, and I worked in letter shops. Oh, back in 35. Not for very long. They hired you on the premise that if you did well, you'd stay on, and then New Year's Eve they fired everybody they hadn't fired Christmas Eve. But that was a depression, and nobody got unduly excited about it. We expected things would be like that. And I worked in letter shops, where I got $12 a week because I had a degree. I'd have got 10 if I hadn't. And
I'm sorry, what's a letter shop?
Oh, a letter shop is a place where they do mailings, where you type envelopes, thousands of them, you know, with names and addresses. One day, I typed the whole 1,000 on the wrong envelopes, and my boss was very annoyed.
For that, you needed a degree?
Well, no, you didn't. I would have got $10 a week. This way I got 12.
What was the degree in?
English and Ed. And that was my bachelor's, and I later got my master's when I was well on and a grandma in early childhood education.
Were you a grandma already when you got your master's?
Yes, I was.
I didn't remember.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
I just want to say this. Because it sounds like a conflict, because you said you were working from the time you were 18, and then you said you already had your B.A. So you want to confirm that you did
I got my degree when I was 19 and a half. I was one of these, not child prodigies, but in those days they were as anxious to get you out of school as they were in. And if you could make it fast, they got you out fast, and so I did. I got out of high school at 15 and a half, and college 19 and a half. So that's the way that was.
When you were, let's say, when you were starting working in early childhood in nursery schools, I guess you were just about the age that, in your middle 30s?
No, I was older. I was, let's see, David was six. I was about 42, 43.
Had you ever thought then about retiring, about what life would be like in you know, in your 60s?
Oh, no, no. I, matter of fact, I heard some young woman question the other day. She's 27, and she was discussing the difficulties of going out alone, and somebody said, well, what will you do when you're 35? And she said, oh, I'll never be 35. Well, I think in most ages, you never think you're going to be certainly not old, and you just don't project that far. I think it's a kind of a healthy way, in a way. I think it would be dreadful if people were always concentrating on what they were going to do when they were old, or thinking of that when they were old.
Do you feel old now? Is that a word?
Well, I don't feel young, that's for sure. I think I feel my age. And some days it's nice, and some days it isn't. I think it's like the weather, you know. Sometimes you feel great no matter what you are, and some days you feel awful no matter what you are. I remember feeling absolutely dreadful when I was 18. And there are many days now when I feel a great deal better than I did then.
When do you think you first started thinking about retirement and what that part of your life would be like?
Oh, probably when I was around 50, I began to project what the future would be like and where I would be headed and what I wanted to do with it.
What did you think you wanted to do?
Well, see, all my life I wanted to be a Renaissance woman. I use that term as because it was always referred to as a Renaissance man, and I definitely didn't ever want to be a man. But there were so many things I wanted to do in my life, and so many things that you can't for one reason or another. Either you don't have enough money, or you don't have time, or lots of things like that. And I like handcrafts, and I wanted to do some of those, and I love going to museums, and I wanted to do that, and I love traveling, and I wanted to do a lot of that. And I wanted to write one particular thing, not fiction. I once tried writing a novel, and it was so hard I decided I didn't have to be a writer, and so I wasn't going to be. And I quickly put it away, and I've never been sorry. So those were some of the things I wanted to do. And I wanted to have time to be a proper grandma, which I was not able to do when I was working. I could only spend a little time with my grandchildren.
Tell me what a proper grandma is.
Oh, a proper grandma takes her grandchildren out and goes places with them. I do that ever so often with the kids as it is. It's a very special thing to take two of them on a day's trip somewhere that they like to go. My up till recently only granddaughter thought that grandmas always take their grandchildren on the Staten Island Ferry. It took her a few years to realize there were other places you could go with your grandma.
That's my daughter we're talking about.
Yeah.
I have to throw that in. How many grandchildren do you have?
As of 2 weeks ago, 8, ranging in ages from 2 weeks and 3 days to 18 and a half.
How often do you actually do those things you're talking about?
Actually, at this point, up till now, it's only really been about one special day a year with each set of kids, and that's what I really wanted to do more of. I like young children. I must admit, I find more in common with younger children than older children, but I love introducing kids to new things and doing things with them. I think one of the reasons I was in the field of early childhood is I like things that little kids like as well as they do. I mean, I still think zoos are great and ferry rides are marvelous, and going up to the Empire State Building and looking north, east, west, and south is very exciting. And so I think maybe because of that quality, kids like to do things with me too.
I still like to do all those things. In fact, I gotta say that you do some of those things that you do with my kids I always feel like are things that are reserved for you to do with my kids, so I don't do them with my kids, and sometimes I miss it. Like, I think I'd like to take the kids up to the Empire State Building, but you always
do that. So you'll
do
it with your grandchildren, too. Something to look forward to.
Gee, that's hard to imagine. When you were 37?
Yeah.
That's how old I am. Was it hard to imagine being a grandmother?
It was pretty hard, yeah. I hadn't projected that far.
Of course, you were a grandmother not so many years after that.
Right.
How much of the things you imagined do you get to actually do?
Well, not as many as I'd like. Somehow the ordinary routine of being a woman takes a lot of time. Also, my husband was ill this last year, which changed my plans to some degree. I got a new career late in life. I became a kind of a nurse. And also, they take money. And when you're not earning it, it's harder to put it out than when you are. So I don't get, for instance, to a museum every week as I would like to. I do spend a lot of time on handcraft because basically I'm a sitter. I like to sit, and I'm lazy, and I know how to knit and read at the same time. So I can read lots of books and knit lots of sweaters and feel productive as well as amused and entertained. So I do some of the things I had planned to do, and I do see my grandchildren more, and I also have aged relatives whom I visit once a week in series, in sequence, and that takes a day. And I did get a month in Europe last year, and that was great, and I hope to be able to do more of that.
I wanted to talk some about your aged relatives. Early on in my feminist career, I went to a panel about older women, and Florence Rush read a paper called The Woman in the Middle, where she described the part of her life where she was feeling that she had expected the most freedom. She had looked forward for years to her kids growing up, and they were grown up, but they still needed an awful lot from her, and besides that, her parents had gotten old, and they needed a lot from her.
Yeah.
And it made me understand you, lot better at the time, because I was, just 30, and all your kids were just in that same period.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems to me that you're still caught in that in a lot of ways.
Well, of course, I always quote the man who said, when I was a little kid, my parents got the white meat of the turkey, and when I had children, they got the white meat of the turkey. So when is it going to be my turn to get the white meat of the turkey? But I guess that also is a factor of life. And with people living longer today, and with the nuclear family what it is, that is something that I think we all have to be aware of. And of course, I do that sort of thing not only because I love and respect my aged relatives, but because I feel that an important aspect of life is relating to other people and doing for other people. That if we can't do that for others, then we really don't have there's not much meaning in life. I think it's important to want to do things for people and to help them when you can. If the older people need it, then that's who you do it for. If you're a parent of young children, then you do it for young children. But that is an important aspect of, I think, humanity.
I think one time when the oldest of my younger sisters was still not living at this end of the country, and I had been sick, and a lot of my friends had been taking real good care of me, and you too, you had come by and brought me chicken soup or something. And I indulged myself and made a long-distance call to Joni. And she said, boy, if she was living in New York, if she was living five blocks from me, I wouldn't have seen her during that period because she can't stand nursing. And I think one of the things is that the very small family structures we have don't give us room to indulge those kinds of differences in a certain sense. I mean, you have a lot of kids. You have more kids, I think, than most women your age. But if you only had two kids, say, and yeah, both of us happened temperamentally not to like nursing, that would sort of be too bad because there might be a time when you needed it anyway.
Whereas I'm hoping that won't happen. I'm hoping that I can arrange my life in such a fashion that I won't need that for my kids.
Not even nursing, but, you know, just to be visited, the kind of things that you're talking about. And, I mean, as it happens, I love to do it, so
oh, that I would hope you would always want to do.
Well, but I'm just, if we still had some way of having the more extended and more communal structures that people used to, those things could fall more easily into the laps of the people who did most want to do them, too.
I think that's true. I think that the depersonalization of the care of the aged is very hard on the old people. I know my father is very old. He's 89 going on 90. And the home where he is very sad because the people there are so lonely. I came by one day when he's almost blind and he's losing his hearing too. And he'd been sitting in the dining room with a woman sitting next to him, and she had been talking to him very intently for about 2 hours in Italian. He doesn't understand a word of it. But when I brought him back to his room, he said, you know, I didn't know what she was talking about, but it was nice to listen to anyway. And I think that human beings want contact all the time. They want touch with other people. They want to be able to relate to others at any time in their lives. From the time, even you see it with infants who like to be held and talked to, even when they're just a couple of weeks old. And I think that part of life, that part of how people feel, goes on from the day you're born until the day you aren't here anymore.
As it happens, I have a record queued up on the machine that is absolutely apropos. This is Holly Near.
In every town, you'll find a working class bar where there are people hanging out have been laid off. And outside in front of the bar, there'll be cars with little kids waiting. Man's been laid off, trouble got trouble. My man.
That was the wrong cut. I am sorry. I will re-cue it and put on the right one. That was still Holly Near, and it was a good song, but it isn't the one I meant it to be. Talk more about people. About people needing...
Talk more about people?
About that kind of what you were talking about before, while I cue up the record.
Well, it got me at an odd moment, sort of. But I... I live by, I guess, principle and ideas, and I think that, well, I guess my ideas are really based on Eric Fromm's definition of productive love, which is doing for the other guy what's good for him and what he needs, and I think that's really where it's all about. I think it's futile, and I think people don't enjoy having things done for them if you sort of do what you think they ought to have or give them what you want to give. You have to keep in mind what the other guy wants. And if they want visits, if they're old, then that's what you need to do. And if little kids don't want to be hugged sometimes, then by golly, you shouldn't hug them. Even if you're dying to give them a hug. I have two grandchildren who don't like to be kissed. They will only kiss their mother and father. Well, I'm fortunate I have other grandchildren who do, but if that was the way it was, then I would just not be able to kiss them. If I did, I'd be forcing something on them they didn't want, and certainly I don't see how that can give anybody pleasure if it isn't reciprocal and if it isn't wanted by the other guy.
I have to tell you, that's one of the hard things that I figured out was when I began to realize that ageism cut two ways, that it affected little kids too, and finally realized that we don't have any more of a right to caress and maul and otherwise lay our hands on little kids than say men do on women without
right.
their permission. It's been real hard for me since the day that I decided that I couldn't touch little kids anymore unless they let me, because I really like to. And those rotten nephews of mine who don't let me kiss them because they never kiss anybody but their mother and their father and their brother. That's real hard for me to respect that because I keep wanting to chase after them. And I have to remind myself all the time of having been a sex object, of what it feels like to be somebody that a different class of people think they have the
right
to mishandle. I want to go back to that Hollinia record, which is about being old and forgotten and alone, because it's a real nice record.
We wrote about a figment in our imagination, but we got to thinking about it, we realized that the real thing was real close to us. If we just opened our eyes, we both have really fine grandmothers. Well, I just found out this afternoon I've been carrying life for two. I needed some conversation to know what I should do. I was walking down when I heard this talking chair that climbed up on the moonlit porch to see what was there.
That was Holly Near singing Old Time Woman. And this is Judy Pasternak sitting here with a not so old time woman, my mother, talking about her older years. Her what word would do you describe yourself as when you're being serious about yourself?
You mean in what category do I put myself?
Yeah.
An older woman. Yeah. See, in New York City, you don't get a subway card for half fare until you're 65. In Suffolk County, you're a senior citizen when you're 60, and in England, you are too. So it depends where you are as to what age you are. And I don't like the expression golden age, because really, that's a terrible misnomer, and it's sort of such a put-on, because it's not the golden age. The golden age was a long time ago, and this is the older age, but certainly not golden.
I was going to ask you this later, but I'll ask you now. Do you feel there was a part of your life that you would describe that way?
Oh, yes. I think for a woman, the age from about 32 to about 40, 45, that's, absolutely marvelous. That's really your peak. And it's so great. You're pretty smart, and you're physically in very good condition, and you're sophisticated, and you can get around, and you don't have the naivete of a young girl anymore. And it's just marvelous. But soon after that, things begin to go a little downhill. You don't feel quite as well as you did, you don't look quite as well as you did. People call you "Hey Lady" instead of "Miss," you know, which I didn't like either. But "Hey Lady" is kind of awful. And there was one funny incident when I was still working, when I was a consultant, and I used to go from school to school, and usually when a child in a class. And there was always one kid who would come over and say, "Who are you?" And I would usually say, "I'm a teacher from another school," because that was more acceptable to children than saying, "I'm a consultant," which didn't mean anything. And one day, a kid came over and said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a teacher from another school." And the kid looked up and said, "That's funny, you look like a grandma." So I said, "Well, I happen to be both," which I was. But that's kind of what happens. You begin to look like a grandma. And you are in another category. And things get to be harder. I have trouble with subway stairs, which is one of the reasons I did quit working as soon as I did. I have arthritis, which I got at a very young age because of a trauma. I was in a car accident. But I do have it. It makes not walking difficult. I walk fine, but walking stairs is a problem. I get tireder, I think, more easily than I used to. So that you know, aging is a factor, and it's for real. It's not something just that's in the books.
The phone number here, by the way, is 371-5200, and my mother and I would love to talk with you if you're also getting older, or if you also still can't imagine that. I can imagine, I guess, if I think about it, just about 40. I mean, that same period that you're talking about, which is where I am now, I can see kind of clear to what you're describing as the end of that. I feel real good about how old I am now. I'm 37, and I sometimes describe myself as an aging dropout. And I feel tired more easily than I did, you know, 20, 15 years ago or 10 years ago. But I feel pretty good about myself, too. But I can see my life clearly to about 45, and after that, it starts getting kind of mysterious to me. I'm not sure what it'll be like.
It's probably just as well.
We have a phone call. No, they went away. They stopped. I guess I feel like I'm looking forward to being 40. That feels like the peak of where I'm at now, you know. But I don't either know exactly what it is I'm going to do
when I'm 50. Good. I think it's good not to know exactly what you're going to do, but to know that you're going to be doing something that...
Let's take this. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes. Well, like your mother, I retired a little early just a short time ago, and I'm sort of finding what I want to do. But I really suggest that, for one thing, there are an awful lot of problems in the way of recreation and people with limited income,
right,
and how they are going to get enough just to eat and so on. And the increased illnesses of aging and so on. And I think that one of the places that you ought to look into is some of the senior citizen centers, which had craft show yesterday at Bryant Park. And I feel as if you should be trying to find somebody who maybe could get you a senior citizen's calendar.
Oh, that's a good idea. If you could tell me how I could find one, I'd be delighted.
I'll start looking for you.
Okay.
I don't know at this point if I can do it myself. I'm one of the friends, and I'm working hard for the friends, but I'm a friend who, you know, we friends really seem to have been misread in our motives by some people, and we really do want to help the station, but when I have to fight with you, at one point I can't help you at the same time as much as I'd like to.
Well, if you can find that listing, as a matter, and we'll look for it, too.
I think it's something that would have to be made by somebody who was interested in your work. This is what I'm thinking of. Not a pre-printed listing, but one that was developed.
That's probably an interesting idea for people to get together. I wonder, there might be such a thing. If there is, and I find out, if anybody knows out there, if anyone knows of a listing of senior citizens events and or events of interest to older women, feminist movement things for older women too, the phone number here is 371-5200. The Gray Panthers might know, and there's also a group of women who put out a publication called Prime Time, which is a magazine for older women. But also, I would like to hear from people who have solved some of those problems or who know more about how to deal with them or have been dealing with them longer than my mother has.
Yes, and another thing, you know, is that I think that we really need cooperative efforts. I frankly think we should be able to develop cooperatives. we should be able to find ways to do things together with mutual interests. This is where a program such as you're trying to develop could be very useful in that respect. For example, I'm a weaver.
Oh.
And not many people weave now, but there are such great opportunities that we could find to, you know, to get together.
I have a loom, but I'm just a novice at it. And one of the things I want to do is, I did take one course, but I want to take more so that I can get more proficient at it.
Well, yesterday I was looking around, and one place that I've been told, and I think is one of the most dynamic of the Senior Citizen Center, is Sirovich. And I talked to some of the people, and they really did seem interested in weaving.
Where is that?
It's on East 12th Street.
Oh,
I know where it is.
And their person who's in charge of recreation is there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, she told me. So I'm planning to go up there probably next week and talk to them. Because there did seem to be a couple people at this fair who, you know, were interested.
If that's still Marge who's in charge of that, if that's still Marge who's in charge of that, tell her Judy Pasternak said hello. I interviewed some women there for a program I did last year.
Yeah.
It looked like she had a real nice thing going on there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, That's good. How is it I hear some other sound from my radio that isn't this?
I don't know.
I see, it's tape delay, that's why.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. Yes, because of the phone calls. Yeah, you have to listen to this with your radio down. I mean, you have to talk on the phone with your radio down.
Yes, uh-huh. Well, I'm kind of a long ways from my radio. I just hear it faintly. Yeah, this is the main thrust of what I had to say, but I think it's really terribly important to get this channel of communication open.
Well, we have more phone calls coming in. So.
I agree, and I really like what how you feel, and I think that many of us older women do feel that way. And thanks for calling.
Maybe we'll meet one day.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Judy Pasternak?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. I'm sorry I have laryngitis.
I'm sorry, too.
Yeah, but I was just listening to your show, and I heard your mother speak.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say I'm 51 years old, a widow, and I had arthritis, apparently because of some... You know, injuries due to an automobile accident and surgery. And I'm selling my house. I don't know exactly where I'm going. But wherever I'm going, I feel life is an adventure.
Oh, that's great. I feel the same way.
I just wanted to tell this to you. I'm so sick. But I just heard your program. And I just wanted to extend this... message to your mother.
Well, thanks.
And to all of us, I hope.
Older women are really not older women. We are just more aware women.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that too, because somebody asked me something recently about, they were talking about the way I had told someone, I really don't remember who this was,
yeah,
that I was going to have my mother on the program.
Yeah.
And they were talking about older women. And they said that they were talking about other cultures that had, you know, a real respect for older people.
Mm-hmm.
And a sense that older women especially had wisdom.
Yeah, well.
Well, I think one of the factors that makes us so aware that we are older women, if you want to put it that way,
is, right.
Is the youth culture in our culture, where every magazine you pick up says how to be sexier for your husband, or how to be more sensual, or how to look younger. You never see an article on how to be a gracious older woman. Little kids and people past 45, women past 45, don't count, it seems, in the culture of our world. And I think that's one of my greatest grievances. I find that very irksome. I don't feel that I'm ready to pull the covers over me just because men don't wink at me when I walk down the street. In fact, I was in Soho a couple of weeks ago with another couple of my age, and the man was very annoyed because we saw many, many couples of very young women with older men, and he was mad because he wasn't with a younger woman, and I was mad because the older men felt they had to be with younger women.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What?
I had a wonderful marriage, 28 years. I'm a widow now, but my problem is I have all these young men in love with me.
Oh, well, I think
so. And I am not a promiscuous woman, you know. It's just that I have this feeling of youth.
Well, that's great.
Adventure and awareness and understanding or tolerance. I don't know what you call it, but I am so sick today. I have laryngitis, but I heard your program, and I just had to call, and I really feel that all the women have it made.
Okay.
I've got to say it.
Good.
And I may get into a little bit of trouble. Hopefully not. But I'm going to play it by ear from now on.
That's
okay?
Good. That's glad to hear. Nice to hear. Thank you for calling.
It made me feel good to call you.
It made me feel good to hear it. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I wanted to say that this program is really very interesting, and I imagine something rather new. I wanted to join in with this and tell you that I'm 69, and there's not enough time for me in the day because I'm collecting all the poems I've written over the years, getting them ready for publication. I had developed a new art form. I've been enjoying everything that I've been doing. I know that most people suffer from unstructured time after they retire. And I want, if I may, to read two of my poems, which I think you will find appropriate to this program.
Okay.
One of them is called Over 50. Where will I fit in with my random rhyme, spilling from within the wounds made by the cutting point? That well-known point, that point in time. Don't call me senior citizen. I'm special, different, me. I'm Mr., Miss, or Mrs., like the rest of the citizenry. Make me no segregated denizen of your euphemist gerontocracy. The other is, in the middle of your age. When night would anchor you in rest and still the rush of flying time, you stifle sleep with memories that trap you in their corridors, corroded by regrets for loss and wasted youth of yesteryears. Need you cringe from self-struck blows and mark your nights with might-have-beens? Each day you waken is tomorrow. Challenge the destiny of days. Grasp the gift of time and try to cease preparing yourself to die.
Yeah,
that's great. It's really very, it's beautiful.
Now, I want to say, too, that I don't know whether it's been the reception on the radio or what, but unfortunately, I didn't get either of your names.
I'm Judy Pasternak.
Judy Pasternak.
Yes. And my mother is B.
B.
B. Yeah. Beatrice.
Beatrice.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
Why
and I also, was it, who was the one who was singing on the record?
The last record was Holly Near.
Was who?
Holly Near.
Holly Near.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I thought possibly it was one of you.
No.
No.
Holly Near live in concert, I think.
I see. And what was it that you were you talking in the beginning about things that you were doing since retiring? Is that it?
Sort of, yes. I really haven't gotten into the swing of things because I was, as I said earlier, I was sort of off the track for a while because my husband was ill and I had to take care of him, and that took precedence over other things that I wanted to do. I never feel either that my days are either wasted or endless or pointless. No day is long enough for me. There are still a million books I haven't read and a million records I haven't listened to and a million pictures I haven't seen in museums and you know, there's so much.
There really is so much.
Of course.
That's right. As a matter of fact, when I, you know, when you're writing or you're painting or drawing, that is a kind of alone kind of work. I hesitate to use the word lonesome. Well, I could say lonesome, perhaps, not lonely. But you're all alone when you're doing this.
Hmm.
And every once in a while, you get self-fever. I wouldn't say cabin fever, but self-fever, in a sense. And you got to get up and walk around and air yourself out a little bit. And you say to yourself, God, I'd really like to be outside, mixing with people, going to the museum, or seeing this or that, you know? And that's one of the things that one does miss. You can listen to music, except if it's out of tempo with the poems you're writing, then you got to turn it off.
Yeah,
somehow.
I
think that if a person has not something that really makes them feel good, then it's sad when you retire. If you just, you know.
I have to say, I talked about this on a program a couple of weeks ago. I haven't retired, but I took up freelance work almost a year ago. And I'm still having a struggle getting the rhythm of it.
Yeah.
And I just, everything you say sounds so fine. It is so nice to feel that it's all right, you know. I have time. I can work this through. Because it is possible.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, what I said in the poem, I mean very strongly because, you know, we tend to categorize things so badly, you know, this age or the time, and instead of just you know, holding on to what you've got, making the best possible use of what is,
right,
and trying really to look upon it in a kind of positive rather than a negative way. My grandpa used to say, are you worrying? Why are you worrying? Is there something you can do about what's worrying you? You can't? Then what's the point of worrying? Can you do something about it? Well, then why don't you do it? What are you worrying for? You know?
There are only two possibilities. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that can be interpreted on many levels, you know. And I don't mean to sound like a Pollyanna, because health is a very great factor as one gets older. It's true.
Health, and also, I mean, I don't know what you did.
The amount of means.
And I don't know what you did with the early part of your life, too, but practice. I think that I have known a lot of women who spent a lot of their best years as housewives who really got out of the habit and out of practice at making the kinds of decisions for ourselves that make it possible to do the kind of work you're talking about.
I think that that's where possibly it would be a wonderful thing if there were groups of in neighborhoods where people could come in and communicate with each other and support each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Men and women.
Right.
Of a certain age. Instead of kind of moldering or feeling sad and neglected and, you know, because everybody's busy with their own concerns, and if only that kind of thing could be done. I think it could be done. It just means that somebody has to spark it, you know? Even if it meant let's say, these large houses, these apartment places where if they have a place in the cellar, all right, if not, somebody's apartment, and start these groups and get together, you know, put a sign up someplace. I don't know whether people would go for it or not, but it may be one way to be supportive of people who have out of the swing of things, as you said.
There are also the Grey Panthers who have organized to do some things about older people.
Do they have groups around or is it large, just meetings occasionally, or what is it?
I'm not sure, and I wish that if there was anybody out there from the Grey Panthers who was listening, that they would call and tell us, because I'm not absolutely sure.
I better get off and give somebody else a chance.
Well, I just wanted to say one other thing about, I think one of the problems with this kind of getting together is a factor of city living, where the city is so anonymous. In small towns, I have a friend who comes from a town in Kansas of 500 people, and everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
And older people get together, and younger people get together, and my friend's mother's neighbors look in on her every day. It's expected. It's sort of a way of life. But in large cities or in large apartment houses, weeks could go by and you won't see your next-door neighbor. So that's one of the factors, I think, that keeps us apart rather than getting us together.
You know what started getting people together? Their fear of crime. Amazingly enough, this building, which we've lived in for 20-some-odd years, and where there has been a certain amount of turnover, the one thing, and I will say I started it with a friend, a neighbor, we decided that we'd better do something about the fact that there had been some thefts, you know, in the building. And we called in the local police, and one night, everybody turned up downstairs in the lobby.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, we put things under the door, notice of the meeting and so on, and that could be followed through, you see. In other words, on every floor, all the tenants were supposed to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case.
Right. That's a good idea.
And one thing could lead to the other if only one, you know, wanted to follow through on this.
Yeah, people.
It's another way, I think, of doing it. Anyway, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi, Judy.
Hi.
I just want to tell you I am 44 years old. I'm a grandmother. I was grandmother at 37 years old. My mom is 65 and a great-grandmother. She has 7 grandchildren. She lives on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and they get together every day. It's a senior citizen club. She lives in a project. And I'll tell you, it is the greatest thing that has ever happened to my mother. They dance, they have parties, they eat together, they help one another. It's just unbelievable. My dad passed away 7 years ago, and they're very lonely people, but everyone seems to be so happy down there. It's just an unreal thing to see. It's just so beautiful to see everyone dancing. There are people that are 90 years old. There are people that are 85. And I mean, my mother is like the young one getting everyone together. And it's just beautiful.
I guess, yeah, that too, actually, when I think of how much younger you are, Ma, than you know, most,
right,
most senior citizens, you would be the...
I'd
young
be the
one.
Baby. My father says I'm still young. From his point of view, I am.
You certainly are. I feel really young. I mean, I have a 6-year-old grandchild. And like I say, I'm 44. My mother is 65. And she's, since this senior citizen, I mean, I think it's only been about 5 years, 4 or 5 years since they've had it, but it's beautiful. I cannot tell you what they do there. They go on trips, they go to Lakewood, they hire out buses for them, and They go up to the mountains. They go, they went to Florida. They went to Vegas. It's just beautiful. And these are people that are not well-to-do people. In fact, they're just living on Social Security. And they all pool the money together, and it's just beautiful to see.
Yeah.
And they all have a ball. They get a band once a week, and you see how these people get up and sing and dance. It's just, it gives them something to look forward to. Every single day, there is bingo. There's something doing every day that these people don't have to sit in the house and just twiddle their thumbs doing nothing. Because most of them are in their 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And it's beautiful to see these people just get up and dance and sing. And I think it's wonderful for what they're doing with these senior citizens.
I think that's a thing that you still haven't thought much
no.
about, because that's a place in your life. I mean, one of the things that happens, I think, to people who are much older than you are, mostly, is that a lot of your friends are
gone
one way or another.
Yeah, it's beginning to happen to me. In fact, it already started 3 years ago when I lost a very dear friend, and this kind of thing does happen. I remember thinking at that time I had never lost a friend until then. And now, of course, it's becoming, unfortunately, almost commonplace. So it is a point that you do need to make new friends and new contacts even as you get older.
Yes, yeah. Well, my mother has lost a lot of her friends, very close friends. And like I said, she does live on the Lower East Side, and she is a lot younger than most of the women there, so she gets them up, and she sings along, and she makes them dance, and she's like the, the MC, you know, and really, she doesn't go there very often, but my mother cooks for some of the women in the building, the elderly women. She writes letters for them. She's just very compassionate and very caring mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, and just fantastic. And loves doing these things, helping people like your mother, really.
Yeah.
Just lives to help people. And there's not enough time in the day for my mother. I can call her at 8 o'clock in the morning. My mother is not home. Running. She's out. And, I mean, thank God she's well, but yet she also has arthritis, and she's not that well, but she could never sit home doing nothing. She must be busy all the time. I mean, and it's just great, and this club is really terrific for the elderly people. And I think they should try to have this all over, not in just one community.
Yeah.
It just stops people from, you know, you can't go out late at night, or you can't get out because of the crime in all the areas. It's not only the East Side or, Bronx or Brooklyn or whatever. But they should have it all over. I feel the younger people should start it for the older people.
Yeah, there are senior citizen centers in a lot of the neighborhoods in New York, and I just discovered that the Gray Panthers do have a phone listing.
Mm-hmm. I never heard of the Gray Panthers.
It's a citywide organization of older people.
I think it's national, Judy.
Is it national?
Yeah.
Well, it's at 609 Columbus Avenue, and the phone number is 877-8334. And by the way, this is WBAI in New York.
Been very nice talking to you and your mother. I've never listened to the station, but I just put it on, and I must tell my mother.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You on every day?
No, I'm going to be on again next Tuesday, and we're not sure after that what's going to be happening. This is a new program of the Women's Department,
and
we're not sure yet exactly when it's going to be on.
Just a pleasure listening to both you and your mother.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling.
Hey, lots of good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, I came back with the address of the about information about meetings of the Gray Panthers.
Oh, thank you.
Because I got this. I was on the air earlier.
Yeah.
At the fair yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It says, come to a meeting most Wednesdays, 4:30 p.m. at the Ethical Culture Building, 2 West 64th Street.
4:30 at 2 West 64th Street at the Ethical Culture Building?
Yes.
And that's the Gray Panthers.
Yeah. And you know, there are a couple other things that would be helpful to listeners. One of them is there's also the American Association for Retired Persons.
Right.
Which has a chapter in New York and has recreational programs. These, the Gray Panthers are, it would seem to me, more activists.
Yeah, that's a political group.
Problems.
Yeah.